room. I'm tired of talking about it. Do it. Do it.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
It is not about being bleeping great in this room, Studio 66. Thankfully, mediocrity will more than do on even a good day. Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Seated to my immediate left, my main man, for five episodes now,
wow.
Talking about Amazon, NFL Films, All or Nothing, the great documentary series, season two, LA Rams specific. You have heard us talk with AJ Hawk about his comparisons and his contrasts. We've talked with Carson Palmer. And coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk to one of the two directors of this season of All or Nothing, Shannon Furman. Looking forward to catching up with her on her insights. But first, Brian, when we started doing this, I don't even know how long ago it was now. I didn't know. I thought, well, I mean, is it going to be engaging? And, you know, is Brian, does he want to talk about football? It's been received. It's been gangbusters. The Czech Republic out there has swooned for you.
Really?
They've insisted that you come back on the show.
Wow.
I mean, I'm on the fence.
Okay.
I'm on the fence.
Okay.
Let's see how today goes.
Okay.
No, I would love for that to happen going forward. But we've really been talking about this series, and I thought, can we do five episodes talking about a 7-part documentary series? And I feel like we could go on and on for another 20 hours here.
Well, I think it's football, so you can talk about that a lot, as you know.
Yes.
And B, what this show does is now you're seeing people's personalities. And you're getting to see people behind the veil, at least a little bit, and then see this unbelievably remarkable moment, as we learn from Keith Cosro, that, in 55 years, they've never been inside the huddle, if you will, for a losing team. And NFL Films has that and has captured the emotion the day Jeff Fisher was fired, which, you talk about great dramas, and I love great drama. I was actually on a great drama on Amazon called Hand of God. But if you talk about great dramatic television, it's hard to beat, actually, specifically episodes 6 and 7 of this series, particularly if you like documentaries and you like football. I just think it's super compelling.
True to all of that. And again, on Amazon, that's where you track it down. And it's spellbinding. And I know that cynics out there say, yeah, but it's a losing team. How compelling can a losing team be? And of course, it's extra interesting because you watch Jeff Fisher's.
Right.
I mean, it's the low watermark, but it's the high watermark of this season here. But before we got into it with Shannon, I just wanted to say thanks for jumping in with us, because it's been great fun having you roll through here.
And thank you for having
talking and sharing golf stories with your pals, Carson Palmer and AJ Hawk, our mutual pal.
Yes.
Yeah, I was glad you could be here for the retirement ceremony of his jersey on the Digital Wall of Fame.
Unbelievable.
Here in Studio
6. It was emotional for me.
You, at minimum, are now eligible for a nomination for Best Non-Football Playing Guest when the Shecky Awards.
Wow.
I didn't say he will be.
Wow. What?
I didn't say with the applause. I said he's eligible for a nomination. Time will only... No, I mean, I didn't say he's not getting it either.
No, what about the Wall of Fame? What? I mean, what do you need to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, what would you put up there?
I mean, there are bobbleheads of me.
Oh.
There are. There's not really any jerseys.
No.
No.
I'm trying to think. So Kevin in The Office didn't have a particular tie or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I've got some ties. I've got some ties.
Maybe. Yeah. All right. You know what? To the matter at hand, we'll continue to kibitz about that as the calendar year moves forward. Right now, let's kibitz with her right now. Like I say, one of the two directors of a great season of All or Nothing. Here she is, everybody. It's Shannon Furman. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm fine. I apologize for, you know, the big windup there, but, you know, we've been yapping about the great series for the last month and a half now, and so I wanted to thank Brian for
don't,
it.
Don't apologize.
You're right. I'm tired.
No, don't apologize.
Apology retracted.
Okay, perfect.
How
well,
are you?
I got to hear some good golf stories and stuff. A 7.5 handicap, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, see that? That's a compliment. Most of the people we've been talking to only make fun of me and my golf game, so it's refreshing to have a compliment.
Well, you guys are going to laugh because I'm actually – Coach Fisher invited some of us to play in his golf tournament this weekend, so I had to report my handicap. And let's just say it's a little higher than that.
Where is his golf tournament? Are you allowed
to
say? Montana,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
The land of earthquakes. I don't know if you've heard.
I did hear that last night, so a little nervous, but still, I'm still looking forward to it.
So what's from where you sit, what's the reception been to this season of All or Nothing?
I think it's been pretty positive, which is great because when I left there in January, I had no idea what to think. I Keith and Nick and a lot of the guys back home and girls that edited on the show did a really great job. It was a long year. It was a long, emotional, exhausting year.
Is that the I don't know how much experience you have with scripted stuff versus, documentaries, but I imagine that's the experience of making a documentary is you shoot and you shoot and you shoot and you can never shoot enough stuff and you still don't know what you have. Right, and then you have to cull through endless amounts of video to figure out how to tell a story. That seems nearly impossible for a dummy like me.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different because I'm the assistant director on Hard Knocks also. So the two shows, while they seem similar, have a lot of differences just in the turnaround time and stuff. For Hard Knocks, I mean, everything is happening in the moment. With All or Nothing, you have all this downtime. So the one example I think Keith and I probably use a lot is, like, if there's a fight during training camp, I mean, that's going to be our big climax. That's your big storyline that week. In All or Nothing, if there's a fight, it probably isn't even going to make the show because no one cares unless that character has a big play in the game that week or something like that. So with this show, you have a lot more time to figure out who your characters are on All or Nothing and build stories around them. But that being said, the more time, especially here at NFL Films, the more time you give us, the more we're going to keep changing things and trying to make the story as good as it possibly can be. So I know that was something that Keith, I saw him stressing over a lot, the different rounds of shows. I mean, the show one changed so many times. The Seattle game was originally in show one, but then as the stories continued to play out, that got pushed back into show two.
Do you ever say to players, like, that was good, Coach Singletary? Can you go again, though? A little more dour this time?
I don't think I had to do that at All or Nothing, but I have done that in the course of my career before.
Oh, wow, there you go.
I love
good,
it.
Yeah. Well, so what I was asking, so, you know, Hard Knocks at this point has a formula for what happens in episode one and two and three and whatever. Whereas as this show, there's been two seasons and, you know, obviously the Cardinals going 13-3 and going to the playoffs and really became almost a celebration or a feel good story. You know, this was quite different. And even the structure over the same eight episodes, you know, there's no football. The season's over by episode seven in this. So talk a little bit about the flexibility that gives you and the responsibility of sort of having to go with whatever you get.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon gives us a lot of, you know, flexibility in that even the amount of episodes that we can have, it doesn't have to necessarily be eight episodes. So I think even as a lot of people were wondering, like, you know, why isn't the coaching search in the show more? Well, we thought we were done. Like, we thought when I left there on January 4th, I thought the show was over. And then as Keith and I kind of sit back and Keith's back here editing it, And we start seeing all these guys signing with new teams. You see, like, William Hayes gets traded, and then Greg Williams goes to the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, our whole theme that we started with of home starts to kind of come full circle with, like, are you ever really home in the NFL? And that's when we started talking, like, should we go follow up with these people? Like, should we do an eighth episode and add on? So the fact that this is on Amazon and allows us the flexibility to do more episodes, and like you said, the timing and stuff, that's kind of where episode 8 came from. And it's also why you don't see as much of the coaching search as, you know, some people have noted this past week. We kind of left there on January 4th and then started back up again over the next month, like decided to pick up and do some stuff at the combine, and then at draft, and then follow up with everybody in their new homes. So just the flexibility there allowed us to do a whole nother episode, which I think was pretty interesting and something that people have never seen before.
Yeah, well, and that's interesting that your sort of subtitle was home, that's what I heard from you, because see, for me, I guess it's kind of the same but a different take on it. I mean, to me, what you guys did such an incredible job of showing, and what I would have subtitled it, was moving. And the idea of moving, and the three moves that happened before, and moving to London for, you know, a week. And then, of course, at the end, the episode that you're referring to, everybody sort of moving again. And I know everybody gets it. But the coaching staff is so tied into the head coach and the success or failure of that head coach that they're so tied in together. I feel like you guys showed that extraordinarily well.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's like, even I remember Todd Gurley not realizing, like, that Skip Pete might not be his running back coach the next year. You know, after Coach Fisher's fired, like, that day Skip sits them all down and tells them, like, I'm probably not going to be here. Now, oddly enough, Skip is one of the guys who is still there right now. But a lot of the players, like, didn't even, I mean, they're young. The Rams, I think, had, if not the youngest team in the league, they were one of the youngest teams in the league last year. So it's something that those players, like, you know, a lot of them didn't realize that their coaches were going to be gone next year. And that was something that in that week leading up to Seattle, a lot of the coaches had to sit down and kind of tell them and help them prepare for, like, what was to come.
It's I was going to say unique, but at least it's a season of distinction for the Rams in the sense that very few teams ever move in a calendar year and then have to field a team. At any point, does anybody, Jeff Fisher, Kevin Demoff, Les Snead, do any of the players, we talked last episode with Carson Palmer, and I'm intrigued. Very often football players will demur if you ask them, like, what do you think about what's going on in San Francisco? Like, oh, I'm not in that locker room. I don't know. Do these guys come to you and say, are we doing this right compared to what you've seen? Are we weird? Am I meaner? Do any of the position coaches go, do I seem too mean compared to the other coaches around?
Well, because All or Nothing is so new, it's kind of funny. I would say maybe like 50% of the guys on the team knew exactly what was going on, while the other 50% are like, what have we been doing? Like, what are these wires you're putting on us at practice? Where are they going? I mean, a guy like Aaron Donald, he is football through and through. He came up to me like day one and was like, I know what this is. Like, I know what we're doing here. I watched the Cardinals. Like, he also came up to me at the end of the whole thing and was like, Shan, if we were winning games this year, I would have done whatever you guys asked, you know? Like, so that was nice to hear, but hard to hear because you root for a guy like Aaron Donald. I don't think anyone ever asked if they were doing it right. There was always, like, Jared Goff was a really great sport. He understood what was going on. He was a fan. He was great even coming into Hard Knocks and stuff like that. Like, he grew up watching Hard Knocks, so he was excited to be on the show. And it was nice for us to have a quarterback who wanted to participate and wanted to be a part of the whole project. So he was pretty great in All or Nothing. I mean, it wasn't, you know, going the way we all wanted it to. So he would joke with me about, like, is it time to pull the plug? But then at the end of the day, you know, he said, like, that he was happy that we were there to kind of just, like, show how everyone is working hard. And nobody really gave up. I mean, yeah, there were games where they might have given up, you know, once they were down, like, 30 points and stuff. But honestly, like, just being there on a weekly basis, like, you heard how they had the whole 24-hour rule. Like, when Wednesday, their first real day of practice was Wednesday. When Wednesday rolled around, it was business as usual. And, like, even Patriots week, like, they thought they were going to win every game, which always amazed me because I was kind of, like, sitting there like, oh, well, you know, we're playing the Patriots this week. But, like, they always seemed like they were ready to go into it fresh, and like every week was going to be a win. So I don't know. I think they all did a good job, like just keeping their composure and staying together. I think that was something they said. Like, I really do think they stayed together in a really tough situation.
Well, now, and you just said we. So that's so interesting to me, right? So did you begin to feel like you were a part of the team?
Well, it was 8 months of your life, right? With Hard Knocks combined with All or Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, I'm a storyteller, and we're going to give you the truth and tell you the real story, but we were Rams fans here. I mean,
right.
Keith and I would be on Sundays. Sundays were rough for Keith and I when we would talk to each other afterwards. I mean, just all the traveling around you did with them and stuff. They're like, the Miami game, when Coach Fisher told me after the Miami game that that was the most devastating loss of his career, I mean, that hurt me too. Like, I'm rooting for Jared, and I wanted Jared to see Jared win that game. So it was rough. Yeah, you become a fan of everybody, and like as people and as players. So it was tough to go through it all. And I say we a lot.
Well, it's funny because you talk about Aaron Donald, and he is, you know, he's the most dominant guy at his position in the NFL right now. But and he is a nice guy, but he isn't, you know, for your purposes in trying to be compelling, he isn't that sort of a figure. He's too focused on playing football, ironically, to strike a truly fascinating character. On the other hand, guys like William Hayes, do you feel like some guys, Jared Goff grew up watching Hard Knocks. Are there now guys in the locker room who now perform to the camera? Because I feel like William Hayes, the whole dinosaur thing is like, all right, you know, right? You're doing that maybe as a bit, right? Or no?
I do think you find guys who do that. I think a lot of times, though, they end up like not even becoming characters because it's too much at times. Now, Will, like the crazy thing about Will is we had heard this whole dinosaur story at Hard Knocks, and then we had been there for like 2 weeks and no one was talking about dinosaurs. So I was like, is this going to happen? Is this guy going to ever talk about these dinosaurs that we've been hearing about? And then once it happened once, it was like we couldn't get it to stop happening. I was like, can we please stop with the dinosaurs? So we toned down the dinosaurs on All or Nothing. I think we just got the Little Mermaid soundbite in episode 8. But I think other than that, we kept the dinosaurs out of All or Nothing.
But the guys do, I mean, you do, does anybody say, hey, that was pretty funny what I just did. Make sure that makes the final cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Will does that. Will Hayes definitely does that.
What are you talking about?
Will is still asking me for, like, raw clips of the stuff he did.
You were on a comedy, though. That was the difference. Like, yes, that was the
yeah, but the point is still the same. Like, when you know you've done something.
Oh, I would do it, too.
Clever,
I campaign.
You're like, you wink at the camera, and you're like, you're going to get
it. Did you hear the fiery speech
oh, no.
I just gave?
Did you hear
what?
There
wasn't a dry eye in the house. I better be in there.
I will turn to the camera and go, like, did you get – was I focused up on that one. You got – you framed me up okay in
time.
All
right, that's fair.
Well, so speaking of the television show that I was on for a long time, now it's a different situation because, you know, in some ways you are you're supposed to be a fly on the wall to what's happening, but I was on a particular television show where the premise and the setup was the same, right? That we had a documentary crew, this is The Office that I'm referring to, that was there to follow us around as though they weren't, and but of course at times they become a part of the action in both scenarios. My question to you, I guess, is because you've talked about Coach Fisher and you're going to go play golf and his charity event last week, the friendships that you make working together so closely for such a long period of time, do you find that makes it difficult at times to stay as neutral and unbiased as you maybe should be if you're just covering the team?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I think that's why it's good that there's a separation with me, with what I do and with what Keith does. So I think Keith helps keep the whole thing honest back at home here. But at the same time, we still work together. I was nervous as to how Case Keenum might be portrayed and stuff. But then at the end of the day, like, that is who Case is. Like, I mean,
right.
I think that we saw like what happened and everything with him. And at the end of the day, like when he's honest in his interviews with what he says, like he's not going to look bad because he gave me honest answers there. And then we're able to edit him the way he comes across. So yeah, there's definitely times when I'm nervous, and whether that's right or wrong, you know, that's for other people to decide. But yeah, like I did make a lot of friends out there. And I don't want to make these people look ridiculous because I watch them all work hard every day. And like, I don't think that they would say that the work they did last year was an embarrassment, even though they went 4-12, you know, like they still worked hard all the time. And the NFL is hard and lots of games are won and lost. Like, but you know, I mean, the Rams were other than week one, their next, I want to say like 9 games, they were in every single game where things could have been very different, but that's the NFL and the really good teams win those games. So, right. Yeah, it was definitely hard for me at times, but I think Keith helps balance that whole issue out.
Are you? Well, Keith, we talked with him a few episodes ago. He wears it on his sleeve. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's on the right side of history.
Yes. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, no, it's terrific.
Oh, wow, I totally forgot.
I hail Cosro's football team choosing ability. pie in the sky. Well, I imagine the Steelers, the Giants, these teams that are famously sort of closed off would be the holy grail for you, although maybe Belichick would be the one. But
yeah.
Did you learn from doing this on, like you say, a team that ultimately didn't have a very good year? Are you now more intrigued, or all of you at Films looking forward with All or Nothing? Are you now sort of more open than you were, like, actually, we get great stuff when the team is failing like this? And, you know, is there a team out there, I guess, for next year that you have circled that boy, those guys following those personalities around could really be something?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, after last year, would like a team that wins this year. That would be nice. But I think we proved to ourselves this year that all 32 teams have interesting things happening and different storylines. I mean, with the Cardinals last year, it was great because they were winning every week and made the football action great. It made the games more useful, where I think this show had more personalities. We had to find the characters in this show, but this show, there was more happening, actually. I mean, I think in every single episode, there was kind of a theme around every episode, where I don't think we had that with the Cardinals because they were just good. They were just winning and it was happy and things were great. This season, you know, there was a theme, whether it was, you know, the quarterback change to coaches firing, then John Fossil's show to the new staff, like every episode kind of continued something. So I think like the worst thing that could happen to us is probably having a 7-9, 8-8 team where nothing goes on. But even in that, like, then your responsibility is to find the characters, to find the guys that you can make the audience care about. So that would probably be the toughest situation. But, I mean, yeah, I'd love to just follow the Patriots next year and call it a day. That would be great.
And is that the least likely of all the teams? That's the...
Yeah. No, we have we're working on the next team and stuff. So we have a couple options that we're looking at right now. So hopefully that'll be decided. I can't say.
Who is it?
The Vegas Raiders, man.
You can tell me. No, it's totally fine. Who is it? Well, I'll tell you, I was totally skeptical about this. And sort of the same thing that you were saying when you left, when I heard, like, the Rams and they're 4-12 and oh my God, like what? But I tell you, watching it, because of what you get to see, specifically, you know, the day of Jeff Fisher's firing, I want to hear a little bit about that from you, but it is so compelling and you feel like you're watching something that you have never seen before. You know, you talk a little bit about the Cardinals, they were just winning and that was cool, and the football action, and you know, NFL Films has done that forever so effectively, but this year being able to see that, talk a little bit to us about the day, because you were there. Keith talked to us. You were there on the ground the day it happened. So tell us a little bit about how that was for you, having established a friendship with him.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because Coach was very convinced that he was safe, that he was not getting fired. I mean, you saw in the episodes where his son, Brandon, was much more aware kind of what was happening than Coach was. So, and that was all very real. Like, I mean, even when there were no cameras around and people would be talking, he was pretty positive he was safe. So after the Falcons game, I touched base with him and Coach McGinnis that night. They were prepping for Seattle. I believe Seattle played Green Bay that Sunday, so they were watching the game tape of that, getting ready for Thursday night.
Imagine how hard that is, too. Do you feel that looking at mm-hmm. them after a win and then after a loss? Do you feel like, man, I can just look at them and see that this is a grind trying to look at this team after getting humiliated by the Falcons at home?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to grab dinner, and these guys have to, like, go back to work. They're not going to bed. They're not doing anything. They're getting ready to watch the next game because, you know, they're playing in three, four days, not even. It's a total grind. I mean, even watching their schedules on a weekly basis and how late they were there, like the night that we did film with Greg Williams and the air mattress and stuff, like, we do all that in real time. I don't ask Greg to recreate that for me at 6 p.m., you know. We came in and did that at 11 p.m., and when we shot – Coach Fossil running.
I got a 7:30 at Bestie. I really don't want to miss it. Coach, can we pace this up a little bit, friend?
Yeah. I mean, like Coach Fossil, the morning he did his run, he would get up every morning at like 5 a.m. and go run. And I remember, like, he's sleeping in his office, so he has a sign on the door saying, like, do not disturb. So we're just like waiting for him to kind of wake up at 5. And I happened to have three camera guys there that day because we normally only had two. But I think it was coming off of a game on Sunday, so there was an extra person in town. So I was like, no, we just shot football yesterday, but can we all wake up and do this workout? Like, it'll look really cool if we have three cameras. So everyone did it. But, yeah, like, so it is. It's all, like, you know, these guys, like, are sleeping in their offices, the inflatable mattresses, that was all real. That was all going on.
And where are you for that?
Where did I like stay?
Yes. Are you in a in a trailer nearby? Is that where?
Not quite that bad, but we would stay. You'd be amazed, like that area where they are, Thousand Oaks and Cal Lutheran. Like those hotels would get booked up so fast. So like I had a different hotel every week. It was kind of annoying. Oh, I had to keep moving around. And then finally in December we kind of had a permanent spot at the Westlake Residence Inn, but. There's nothing real fancy in that area either. So,
so when they're physically shooting, it's 5:30 a.m. or you know 2 a.m. Where are you physically for that? You're not in a nearby trailer watching in a control.
Oh no, I'm out with them.
You're just
I'm
standing
the
behind
guys.
The shooter.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. I kind of get the camera guys in position. Like the morning we shot with Coach Fossil and stuff, like. We set one guy up like on a long lens type camera and he was actually on the football field and he could shoot up into the mountain where he was running. Then we had another guy, he shoots with a camera called the Ronin where he kind of like runs with it. So we put him on a golf cart up at the top of the
mountain.
Named
after the movie?
I'm not sure.
Well, it would make sense because that was what Ronin was just fast action moving the whole picture.
It probably is. I'll have to get one of the camera guys and ask them. But yeah, and then another guy was at the bottom kind of capturing a lot of the sound and just like getting him on his start and on the finish and stuff. So like I get everybody in position, then I kind of hang with that guy who's at the bottom until we're all done. But yeah, I'm usually behind the camera. If I'm doing my job correctly, I'm behind the camera somewhere. So, and same with Greg's office at nighttime. Like I'm like in the doorway, staying out of the way, but throwing some questions at him to get some talking points here and there. So
where were you when you found out that Fisher was fired? And how did you find out?
I was in the car coming. I had already been to the facility in the morning, checked in with everyone, talked about what we were going to do at practice that day. And then myself and Pat Harris, who directed with me, ran out to go grab breakfast real quick. We were on our way back. I was probably like 3 minutes away. And my production assistant, who runs the robotics cameras, called me, asked me where I was. I said, I'll be back in 2 minutes. What's going on? And he said, Coach was just fired. And I was like, what? I thought he was kidding. I had already talked to Coach Fisher that morning. So I was just in complete shock. I said, all right, I'll be back in 2 minutes. Hung up the phone. Pat was driving. He looked at me. He's like, what's going on? I was like, Coach was just fired. I don't know anything else. We got to get back. So we got back and then we were in the trailer. So we had 2 8x20 trailers right outside of the Rams facility where all of our stuff was set up. So essentially our like 10 person crew that week, all of us crammed into that little trailer. And I caught the tail end of the staff meeting. and then was able to watch him and the players, the meeting with the players and stuff. So,
and are those cameras on robotics? Oh, sorry. Are those cameras on robotics that are in the room? So when he's telling his players, you do have some control over those cameras and where to direct them. Okay.
Yeah. So we actually have, there's usually just one guy running those cameras, but once he started that team meeting, we have three cameras in the team meeting room. So one of our camera guys actually sat down with our production assistant and the two of them ran the cameras together. So one guy was doing two cameras, the other guy was doing one just to make sure we could get all the cutaways. Like now we missed the one spot where you hear the player saying that it was their fault, and that was Eugene Sims, I believe. We couldn't figure out who it was, but we were trying as best as we could to make sure we had all the proper cutaways and we were capturing the emotion of the moment that was happening.
And what about the PFT thing, the Mike Florio bellyaching about the lack of a camera in the coach's office?
Yeah, I mean, he's been talking about that for weeks, whether that was going to be shown. And, if you watch All or Nothing, we don't have a camera in coach's office. We didn't have one in Bruce's office last year. It's kind of part of the deal. You got to give them some space. It's a lot to ask a team to do already, to have their meeting rooms tapped into like that and have a staff room. So part of the deal with All or Nothing is we don't have a camera in the coach's office. I can't imagine Kevin Demoff or anyone ever calling to say we're going to fire this guy, because I would disagree with Mike Florio in that it's the same as the players being let go. There's 40 some players that are cut at the end of each year. And I think on Hard Knocks, we try to help a lot of those guys too. There's guys that have gotten picked up, Charles James and people like that, that I think we've helped give an exposure. So we really we hate that day at Hard Knocks too, when the guys are cut, it's awful. And so we hope that we can help them. But this is a coach who's been in the league for over 20 years. I think you got to see plenty of what that day was like. So, I don't know. I think we did the best we could in covering that moment, and to ever expect the owner of a team to call us because he's firing his head coach, I think that's just unrealistic.
Well, and let me take your backup even more. I thought that his article is really stupid, and for the following reason. I think specifically what your job is now, obviously when things are edited together, everybody who edits it has a perspective of what they want to show and the story that they're trying, and you only have 8 hours, for 6 months to cover. But to expect, number one, that you have a camera in every single corner of not only outside on the field, but in the building is absurd. And the second thing is that your job is to cover what you can and with all the cameras that you have. And and specifically from the team's perspective, it should not be to tell the story that they want to tell or for you to capture what you can capture. And the idea that Demoff would call you all and give you a heads up that he's about to fire Fisher so that you can set up your cameras in the specific room that he's going to take the phone call, when you don't even know what room he might take the phone call in, is ridiculous. Yeah. So I think Mike is absolutely wrong on this one, and is,
well, and also that would say some dark stuff about Demoff.
Exactly.
Let's turn. This is going to be super entertaining. What's about to happen?
Right.
Make sure you're ready for this. I'm about to fire this.
Well, and also you're setting up. I mean, I'm sorry. Just one more thing. You're setting up a situation that becomes self-conscious, right? I mean, you have these cameras in the room that are set up that in an ideal world, right? Everybody forgets that the cameras are there and behaves the way that they should or that they would naturally behave in the situation. That's the point of the show, which clearly Florio doesn't get. And so for you to then go in and put some makeup on Fisher and light the room appropriately for you to capture this moment is not going to get you the reaction that you want anyway. I'm sorry, I just feel really passionately about this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, so do we. So do Keith and I. We've been talking about it a lot lately. I mean, and you do miss certain things. The quarterback decision. We knew that was going to come down, and we knew that was going to happen in Coach Fisher's office. So we supplement with interviews later. That's why we interview Jared and Case and kind of get their reactions to it. So that's kind of the same way we handle the firing. And like you said, with the fly on the wall thing, I mean, we even shoot this show a little differently than we do Hard Knocks because we want to feel further away. We want to just be out of the way. We want the audience to feel like they're watching something that they're not supposed to be watching. So we don't go on the field for this show when we shoot it. We're on the sidelines at all times. Whereas Hard Knocks, we are kind of behind the line of scrimmage. We're a little closer to everything. So, yeah, I agree with you guys. We knew that was going to happen. We were prepared for that to happen.
Couple more overarching things. To me, my favorite thing, or among my favorite things, is amidst all the tumult and, you know, the Falcons loss, I can't get over, and you as somebody in your line of work must enjoy it even more, the golden light of Southern California, the reason the movie industry is in Southern California to begin with. Isn't it glorious? Is there anything more striking to your eye in the world of pro football than that golden light, or is it the steely skies of Seattle, or what is the optimal backdrop for football?
Filming at the Coliseum is unreal. Like, I mean, you go into the stadium and you're kind of like, oh, this place is old. And then you see it on the screen and you're like, this is the same stadium? Like, this is where we are on Sundays? Like, I mean, the first time I got to watch the footage of the Seattle game, I just felt like I was watching a major motion picture where I, like, perfectly positioned every cameraman for every shot that they got. Like, our guys are awesome. I mean, like, they work their butts off. They know exactly what they're doing. There's a reason that they're standing at different places on the field at all times. But, like, I mean, I still, like, the shot, the game-winning shot where Ogletree forces the fumble and stuff, Steve Andrich got that shot. Like, it's like he knew it was coming. But it almost is because he knows it's coming. He knows where, what's important for the story, where he should be. So you get things like that. But, yeah, like, the tunnel, I mean, those locker rooms are gross. That tunnel is pretty gross, but it films so beautifully when you come out of it and you come into the daylight and just the columns there, and then the weather. Like, I mean, well, we were joking with Jared that his first game was in the rain, because you don't see that very often in Southern California. But yeah, I mean, we got super lucky at Hard Knocks too, because they played the games around 5 p.m. So you couldn't beat that. Like, you would get the twilight every day, or with those two home games during Hard Knocks. So yeah, we were very spoiled last year, being able to live out in that area for 8 months.
What is so of the shooting areas? See, that would be a whole different show. We should do another hour and a half on what NFL cities have the best restaurants and best hotels and everything else, because those sorts of things fascinate at least me. What was your what's the most captivating? I don't mean best in a human sense, but what do you think was the most compelling moment of the series, or your favorite moment to extract?
My favorite moment. I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I have wanted to film. I grew up getting Christmas trees, like going to buy a real tree with my family. And I have wanted to do this for so long, like take a player to go to like a tree farm and get a real tree. So I don't think I could have picked a more perfect player to do that with than Will Hayes. When his kids jumped out of the car dressed like elves, I knew it was going to be hilarious. So that's like one of my funniest moments. I vividly remember the Benny Cunningham huddle when he told everybody that this is how he makes his money and this is how they're all going to lose their jobs if they don't get it together. I mean, I remember hearing that, and that's like one of those moments that you just like, you know, it's going to be in the show. Like, no matter how they cut it, where they put it, it's moments like that are going to be in the show. So that was definitely one of my favorite moments. Coach Fossil's honesty in
there
his press conferences and things like that, like, it's just refreshing almost. Like, to me, it was great that, like, the Rams didn't try to, like, censor him and teach him what to say and how to say it. Like, he got to be himself, which was why I think they chose him to be the interim head coach. And it's why everybody loves him. I mean, I tell everybody that he's like the kindergarten teacher you want to go to war for. I mean, that's why they picked him as the head coach, the interim head coach. And his honesty was just really refreshing to me towards the end of the season.
That's so great that you said that, because Dave and I have talked about that a little bit. And to us, or I'll speak for myself, he really comes off as the hero of the show. He's I kept writing when I was taking notes, just like he just seems like a good, sincere guy. And I thought you guys showed that really effectively.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I don't know if Keith talked to you guys about this, but when we started we kind of realized, well, we knew he was awesome from Hard Knocks, but then it's like, how do you get the special teams coach involved? But then you're like, oh, well, they have one of the better special teams units. Maybe they'll make a big play and we can get him involved. But then, like, it was by accident, we ended up being in one of his meetings Saturday night before the game. So we always shot the team meeting on Saturday night. So one week, I think we just got there early and we were in the meeting. And I, like, looked at Pat and was like, we have to do this every week, because if they do return something, like, and we can use it, like, this guy's great. Like, he comes up with something every week. So from probably like week five on, we started shooting his meeting along with the team meeting. And then I started just like telling Keith, like, oh, I did a shoot with Coach Fossil today. And he's like, Shannon, are you crazy? Like, I mean, that's nice and everything. I'm glad you like this guy. But, like, I don't know how we're going to get the special teams coach into the show. But I was like, oh, whatever. We're just, we have some stuff. Even if it's just like a 3-minute segment on where he comes from and that his dad was a head coach. We, like, at least we have him with his family. They're all really nice people.
Well, yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that moment serves as amazing foreshadowing that you got him and his kids on the playground. But aside from the fact that it becomes great foreshadowing, I think that's the first time in the show that we hear, like, how much these assistant coaches are away from their families. And I don't remember the stats, but, like, that he'd been away and sleeping at the office, and then they went to London or about to. And so it's, like, weeks at a time that he's not seeing their kids because he's sleeping in the office. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I think he's since moved, so hopefully he gets home a little bit more often. But they chose to live at the beach last year, so it was just tough for him to get home. So he would spend a ton of time at the office. But I think hopefully they're a little closer now, so he gets to see them a little more, because they're pretty great. I like his family.
Well, like we said to Keith, you know, if it makes sense for you when Hard Knocks starts up, I mean, I know in limited exposure to the Buccaneers between Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, and Gerald McCoy, you're already overflowing with just those three in personality. All three very funny guys. So I assume you'll have great times with those guys. In the meantime, though, we've talked a lot about that Jeff Fisher moment, the two meetings with the coaches and then with the players. What was so, you know, now I guess you're a little bit on the hot seat. We're not documenting it, but after the fact, what was it when Jeff Fisher goes for you? You become chummy with him to a degree. Is it like, well, we're not following you anymore, I guess. Can we get that Mike Pack coach? And, like, is it how do you hug him goodbye? And, like, good luck with everything else, man.
I went and talked to him, like, fairly soon after we found out the news and stuff. And he told me that, he was all for us finishing the project, because we didn't know. We were like, are they going to kick us out of here? Like, what's even going to happen now? And he was just, like, he was probably in better spirits than I was. So he was very, you know, really wanted us to finish the project. Told me that
would not be my way. I would tell I would go out of my way to see if I could get in your ear and everybody else. I don't know if you heard, the whole thing's over, just to send you home out of spite. So what? So Demoff calls you later in the day or in the week, like, hey, we're not done yet. Like, oh, we gotta come back. I'd be laughing in the side, like, ha ha, fire me, will you? You know?
I was a little worried about that. I didn't know. I was like, oh, my God, like, is this all going to be for nothing? You know, like, but.
Wow.
For nothing. That's a different show.
Yeah. That's a totally different, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, he was supportive of us staying and finishing the project out and stuff. And then I talked to Kevin later that day at practice, and he said the same thing, that he wanted us to stay and finish it and document, you know, Coach Fossil and stuff now. So we just kind of kept operating as normal. Like, it really was just that day, that first day of practice, we mic'd Coach Fossil and Coach Mack, I think, that was another fascinating moment. Like, watching Coach Mack teach Coach Fossil how to be a head coach and what the things he needs to look for and stuff. And I think the way it was edited was real well done, just to kind of show everything that's going through this guy's head and all the stuff he needs to learn, and on a short week too. So, we kind of, like, yeah, I touched base with Coach before he left the building, and then just kept operating as usual after that. And then, you know, I met with Coach Fisher every Monday between he had a presser at 4 p.m. and then he would go to his radio show, I believe, at like 5 or 6 o'clock somewhere. And I would meet with him in between. We'd talk about the schedule for the week, who was going to be mic'd, like, what was going on. So I didn't have to do that anymore. I just kind of made my own schedule up after that on a week for the next 3 weeks. But a lot of it at that point just revolved around Coach Fossil anyway.
Well, I don't know if we've said it enough over the five episodes, but really of the DDFP talking about your second season, but really just gangbuster stuff. And if nothing else, it deserves your attention for the effort that Shannon and staff put into this thing for, I mean, really the better part of an entire year away from your families and everything else. Kudos to you and best wishes with Hard Knocks and the next season. May it be the New England Patriots and their untimely demise. You know,
like, yes!
I think we can all agree. Yeah! We were here to watch the fall of the Empire.
Oh, I guarantee you. I guarantee you they would have been kicked out anyway. If something like that happened in New England, yeah. You know, cameras, they would have been destroyed, tapes burned.
47 seconds into the
deflated.
Series.
Yes, yes.
Like Bill Belichick, like, this isn't going to work out.
No,
you're going to have to
this
go.
Is just not.
Well, Bill did let us follow him in, what was that, 2009? It's kind of almost how the Football Life series was born, and that wasn't – on his up to his standards, you know, that was the year they got crushed by the Ravens in the playoffs, but we still got that film out there.
Well, excellent. Again, enjoy your few weeks until you get rolling there with our few days, I should say, until you get rolling with with Hard Knocks. In the meantime, congratulations on a dynamite series.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congratulations.
There she is, Shannon Furman, one of the two directors of All or Nothing. Although now I want to see All for Nothing.
That was All for Nothing.
Jeff Fisher kicking people, just lying to people. What he did after the fact, yeah. After he had those few weeks given to him a free time. So yes, All or Nothing on Amazon. Make sure you check it out. It's wonderful. Speaking of wonderful, Brian Baumgartner, that's what you are.
Oh,
wonderful.
Thank you.
We had a gay time with you visiting us here over the last several weeks. Let's continue the fun into season. Let's figure out a reason. Maybe you just are a Packers guy, you know?
I'm your
NFC North guy.
NFC North guy.
Just cover all that's happening, but then you come on and the only thing you talk about is the Packers.
That sounds about right.
Like what? But they're not. But they're in third place. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway,
you think they're going to be in third place?
No, I don't. But you know, that maybe is the angle for us.
Okay. All right.
Or. Well, you already have done that series, you playing golf with people, but you on the links with these NFLers, that'd be something. And then Damashek tagging along.
There you go.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Shannon Furman following, too.
If she's behind the camera, yes.
Yeah.
Do you think she would do it?
Probably.
She might have to leave NFL Films to do it. It's a full-time job, me on the golf course. It's a full-time job.
Listen, last thing, I'm going to say it one more time, All or Nothing. Check it out. It whets the appetite for now the looming 2017 NFL season, so make sure you check that out. Brian Baumgartner, what else? Anything else you want to share? Don't play the outro music yet. Now you're cutting them off.
Oh, I could have timed it.
Okay.
I don't know. No.
You want to say anything to the people?
No.
Farewell to
I want to
Republican.
Say thank to you. You've been so kind and so
yes.
generous.
Yes.
And so sexy.
Uh-oh.
And so unshaven. There's so many things that you've been since I've been here. But, no, I really appreciate the time. It's been a blast. I love it.
It has for everybody. I think everybody behind the glass, Mark Brady, Ryan Bartlett, they said, you got to do this. I said, five episodes? Are you sure? Like, it's going to be that interesting? And no, I am happy to be wrong because it's been interesting and then some getting to kibitz with you and great fun at that. Go back and, in fact, if you enjoyed that one, listen to the Keith Cosgrove episode we did on this, the coordinating producer, the AJ Hawk one was great, Carson Palmer, lots of fun. Bottom line, they were all great stuff. We'll be back getting you ready. It's coming. It's ever closer. We're now really minutes away, if you think about it.
We really are.
From the kickoff of the 2017 NFL season. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.